Good morning, everyone, once again. Thank you very much for joining us today for this period of biblical study. It is a joy always to be with you and to open your Bible and study along with us if you can, either now or even later when you go to our internet site at Crockett. The Crockett MS Church of Christ.com website will have this lesson on it, and you will be able to study it along with the Bible verses that are illustrated. Today we want to talk about something that is important to every one of us. We're born into a home situation. Hopefully that's a good situation. I had a wonderful mother and wonderful father and grandparents around me when I was growing up in Otala County down in Kosciuszko, Mississippi, back 74 years ago. And it's been a great time that I had with them and a lot of instruction, a lot of guidance that they gave me. My granddad, Rawson, was a wonderful helper to me, a mentor to me in hunting, for example. When the time came for me to go hunting with the others of the family, rabbits or squirrels or other things, we didn't have deer in our part of the country in that day and time. I showed my grandfather a picture of a deer one time, and he said, "Son," he said, "we don't have those around here in Otala County, central Mississippi. But they have that over there in the Delta." And he said, "They're along the river. We have deer that are there." He said, "But let me tell you something about shooting a deer. Once you fire and shoot a deer, your work has just begun." Well, I took him at his word in that regard. He had never steered me wrong in other things. And so I took it to be that it was a real job once you had a deer down, once you had harvested a deer, as they called it, and as a result, getting all to the meat of the deer and things like that, it was an all-day job. And so he said, "When you harvest a deer, your work has just begun." And thus there was the idea. He helped me to be a swimmer as he took me down to the creek down there just south of where we live, and he didn't throw me in. My dad would have thrown me in. He was the kind of guy who had that idea in mind. He would just throw you in and then rescue you when you were suffering from the water. But he was a good guy and a mentor, as I said, in regard to training. And thus, we went into water together. And he held me up and showed me how to work my arms, how to work my feet, how to work my legs, and how to swim. And then in a moment, just a little bit of time went by, I said, I don't feel your hands underneath me." And he said, "I hadn't been underneath you for 5 minutes now. You've been swimming on your own." And I laughed, and he laughed. And, of course, I went down when I laughed because I had lost concentration on what I was doing. You know, there's a lot of things about life that are wonderful, but wonderful memories of grandparents with you and training you and guiding you as to how to do that. He trained me in hunting to use a rifle and use a shotgun, but also how to cross over a fence once you get to a fence that borders you from where you're hunting. We went every year and hunted because we were sure that there was game that was there. In fact, we went before that time. We went before the time for the hunting because he wanted to check out and make sure that the game was there. If it was a short game and not very many squirrels, birds at that time, then we wouldn't hunt that particular game that particular year. We would wait up for it. I'm saying this morning to illustrate the point that is made in Psalms chapter 37 and verse 23. "The Lord delights in the way of the man whose steps he has made firm. Though he stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. I was young and now I'm old, yet have I not ever seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging bread. They're always generous and lend freely. Their children will be blessed." And I could say that that's an amen to that because my family helped me to preach the gospel. They helped me to base the gospel on the needs of individuals and things like that. And as a result, good can come from the teaching and preaching that I get to do. read there in Psalm 37, beginning at verse 23, and three or four verses thereafter, notice what he says about these people with whom he delights. He says they are going to have good children and good situations going on. Do you have that in your family and in your life? Have you missed some of these things that I've talked about this morning that's always been a part of my days and my life? What a joy and blessing I had with my mom and dad as well. Like I said, my dad was more of a hard shell kind of person, and he simply said to me, just go ahead and try, go ahead and do, and instead of guiding me and directing me. My granddad was helpful to me to drive. He was helpful for me to hunt. He was helpful to me to fish. He was helpful to me to be around other young people and how to talk and how to be. And as a result, I deeply appreciated him and my grandmother as well. They were good people in that way. My mother's people were wonderful people too. Second only to my mom, I think my grandfather Lawrence was delighted that I wanted to be a preacher someday. And one day when we were going out after lunch to play a little ball in the field, he called me back to the porch where he was sitting and said, come and sit with me just a little bit while they set the game up. Come and sit with me just a little bit. And I went back and sat down there on the porch by his side, and he said, son, I'm so thrilled that you're going to preach the gospel of Christ. He said, you have a smile. You always have a smile. It's not to interfere with somebody. It's not to make fun of them. But you have a joy about preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is a joyful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Paul wrote in Romans 1 at verse 16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone who believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is revealed the righteousness of God from faith unto faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Indeed, it is the case that I carry a smile with me and I enjoy preaching the gospel of Christ, but I enjoy it because of not making fun of people, but because it is such a good way in which to live. We're going to talk today in regard to that matter. First off, let me mention to you that this broadcast is brought your way by the Crockett Church of Christ. Crockett Church of Christ is located at 7458 Highway 4 West, Senatobia, Mississippi, 38668. As you get to Senatobia, you turn to the left going up the interstate and coming to the right coming down the Interstate 55. And you get on Highway 4 and you come out to Crockett, which is about 6 or 7 miles out from the interstate. On your left, you'll see a big sign that says Crockett Church of Christ. And mention to you that Crockett MS Church of Christ is our website so that you can hear these messages again by CrockettMSChurchOfChrist.com. Once again, we remind you of the activities of the Crockett congregation. As we gather on Sunday mornings for Bible class at 9:30, preaching service at 10:30, and again on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, our Bible study class during the middle of the week occurs at 7 o'clock each Wednesday evening. Come and be with us if you can. Once again, let's go back to the ideal today. How to have a happy life. How to have a joyful life. It begins with your parents. It begins with that relationship with mom and dad and your grandparents that still survive and guide you and teach you things good in life. What is it about life that is of such nature that we need that kind of guidance and teaching? It's summed up in one word. It's the word grow. It's the word to develop. And if we're people who find ourselves growing and developing like we should, we'll find happiness and fulfillment in life, and we'll find a joy to be here, and we'll have the ability and the cause of the Lord to glorify God in the things that we say and do from day to day. We'll have a wonderful blessing from the hand of the Lord because we follow Him and His way as we live among mankind. On the other hand, if we find ourselves involved not with doing the will of God, we'll find ourselves going on the way of feelings only. And when we go by feelings, we'll have a hollow feeling to come over us. We'll have emptiness to come into our lives. We'll be envious of other people. We'll be afraid of others as well. We'll have hesitancy and anger to be a part of our lives. Resentment and worldliness will be a part of our lives. Wine, women, and song will become a part of our days. Drugs, alcohol, and even pornography will be a part of our existence. We'll operate our lives on the basis of feelings and feelings alone. And when we do that, we're not going to glorify God. We're not going to serve others. We're not going to help others. We're going to be people who serve just ourselves. And if we do that, there'll be no happiness in the home. There'll be no religious practice on our part to serve God. There'll be no social cause that we'll have. And in our vocation of life, we'll change things on the basis of feelings, not on the basis of service. It's a sad thing to note that that is the case in our daily walk of life, that we'll find ourselves leaving the cause of God because we serve just ourselves. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 22, the wise man Solomon directed us to the idea, without counsel, purposes are not fulfilled. But in the multitude of counselors, they are well established. Notice that when you and I talk with others about what we're planning to do, and we have someone that hesitates about saying that that's the right thing for us to do, instead of taking his ideals and thoughts and putting it into practice in our own life to say, well, we ought to be hesitant too, we'll just go on nonchalantly and get into trouble. But if we have the counsel that tells us it's a good thing to do, we'll do the same thing to that. We'll take it into heart. We'll take it into consideration. We'll look at all the costs that are involved in that matter before we decide, yes, I'll do that, and have success with it. Without counsel, your purpose is disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are well established. Proverbs 15, verse 22. Here's a way of life for us to live. Here's a way of life for us to avoid, too. Because when we have no counsel, no information, how many businesses have gone in under because they began without enough information to know how much money they needed, how much stock they needed to support the business, how much advertisement they needed to do, and what kind of advertisement would be the best for their product that they wanted others to know about? All of those questions had to be answered before they ever opened the door, before they ever successfully got to do it. There are those that I've read about in the days in which the great problems and difficulties of the 30s came about that got into business successfully. And they're still in business today successfully. But there are those that fail by the ton. They fail because they did not have enough information and they did not make their plans in regard to the information that they were given. The Bible tells us there's clearly, without purposes, without your purpose, without the idea, your purpose will be disappointed, without counsel. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. He had a good mom and dad. Of course, His Heavenly Father gave Him that mom and dad. And He had them, and they went to worship, and they went to serve the cause of God. And you'll notice in Matthew 5 at verse 17 what Jesus said in regard to living life and what His job was. I didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets, He said, but to fulfill. He came to fulfill what the prophets had said. What did they predict about the Christ? He would be born in Bethlehem of Ephratah, least among the thousands of Judah. That's what Micah talked about. And he said that Micah 5 at verse 2, he said, this is the way that you will find the Christ to come. He was of old, even from everlasting. And thus He came in that way at Bethlehem of Ephratah. Some people will say in their books of learning that Jesus was born in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a little bit away from there in Bethlehem, but it hardly describes the situation of Micah 5 at verse 2 in reference to the place of Jesus' birth. For this place, He said, is least among the thousands of Judah. Yet out of thee shall He come forth, who hath been from everlasting. Notice that Jesus came to this earth in a very private place, very quiet place. And in regard to this matter, he came and he wanted to serve the cause of the Heavenly Father. And in John 12, in verse 48, Jesus said, "He that rejects me and receives not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Then in John 12, at verse 49, he goes on to say, "For the words I say unto you are not my own. My Father gave me these words that I now teach unto you." What did Jesus say? He said, "These are the words of my Father. I want to say my Father's words and instructions." And thus it is the case that Jesus taught them, the judge of the ages will be there. And someday, if you reject me and receive not my word, you have one that will judge you. The word I have spoken, the same shall judge you in the last day. That's why I teach what Jesus taught about salvation. He taught in John chapter 8 and verse 24, "You must believe that I am he, or you will die in your sins." We were people who want to believe in Christ. He said in Luke chapter 13, verses 3 and 5, "I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Jesus said repentance was very important to serve God, and turning away from sin, he said there in Luke 13, verse 3, is the thing to do. Notice in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, Jesus said that if we confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord, then he'll confess us before the Father in heaven. But if you deny him, he will deny you before the Father in heaven. It is the case that we have this message about faith, about repentance, about confession. And before he left this earth, he commissioned the disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned." Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Let me ask you this in their life. Have you ever been taught this by anyone else? By anyone else on radio and television that you hear and that you study and of which you have been maybe a member of a religious movement? Have you heard this message of what Jesus said for salvation? "You must believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." In John chapter 8, verse 24. He said, "You must repent or you'll perish." In Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. He said, "Confess me and I'll confess you before the Father in heaven." Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. And it is a case that he commissioned us, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. "He that believes it and is baptized shall be saved." It's certainly important for us to have that faith. Without faith, Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Notice what he said about that. And in reference to it in Hebrews, in reference to this matter, he tells us, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. And so with that faith, what do I need to do with it? With that faith, I need to commit my life to the Lord. Be baptized into him. Paul describes that baptism in Romans chapter 6 when he says to the brethren, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall any of us that have died to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into the death of Christ were raised to walk in newness of life?" Read there in Romans chapter 6 in reference to this matter. And you'll see where they were baptized into Christ, and they began then to walk new steps in life from day to day. That's why I teach it. I teach it because the Lord taught it, because his apostles taught it thereafter and described it thereafter. And that's the way for us to live today and follow the teaching of the Lord in his way. Now, if I follow the Lord in his way, what will I teach my children that come along in life? Notice the relationships that I have begin with the home, with my parents, with my grandparents, with life in general. That's the way that I begin life. How will I be a person happy in life, fulfilling in life? Or will I base my feelings as the sole reason for my doing what I do? My feelings will be hollow and empty. They'll go around the way of life of hesitancy and fear and worldliness. I'll find myself only trying to survive just in a physical way as I live here upon this earth. But if I go the way of the Lord, listen to what it says there in Proverbs 27 and verse 37 and verse 23. The Lord is delighted in the steps of a man who follows his right way. What did he say in Proverbs 15:22? The Lord through Solomon said, when you have a lot of counselors, your plans are well established. But he says, without counsel, your purpose is disappointed. Proverbs 15, verse 22. When I find my life looking for happiness and looking for fulfillment, I'll find myself in some duty. I've got some responsibilities. You have responsibilities when you want to make a wife happy, when you want to make children happy. My parents had a responsibility to God. They understood that particular matter. And they had an idea that they wanted to train their son in and teach their son in. And so did my grandparents along the way. These duties were to fulfill the way of God. When I have a sense of duty in life, I have a sense of preparing. Responsibility. I will prepare myself for serving the cause of God. I'll prepare myself for life and its work. As a result of that, as a young man, I had a man come in our community who wanted to train some preachers, teach some young preachers. And Paul Sparks was that man. He came from up in Tishomingo in that area of the state of Mississippi. He came in there to teach us and train us if we could. And then he looked at me and said, you can make a preacher. He said, I'll train you what to do. And thus he did. He told me to base all of my sermons upon needs, and you'll never run out. Base all your bulletin articles that you write on needs, and you never cease to write the articles that are interesting to people and helpful to people because you base them on the needs of people. I thought this morning that everybody would need that listens to this broadcast. They would need to know how to have a quality way of life so that you can have happiness in life and so you can have fulfillment in life instead of the feelings of life that lead us only on a downward spiral, a downward route to physical survival. Let's be people who serve the cause of God. And as a result of that duty in life, train our children to help them to be people who work and labor and do good, train our people to be religious and serve God. In John chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible teaches us that God seeks true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. What does He do? He seeks true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's what God seeks. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's the way that we should live. And so that's a duty on our part, to worship God in the way that He chooses and the way that He wants us to do. There'll be duty that we have. Along the way, there'll be mercy that we extend. We'll see people who are not as blessed as are we. And as a result, we'll have mercy toward them. We'll have forgiveness to be offered to people who seek out forgiveness for wrongs that are done. We'll have honesty to be the hallmark of things that go on in our lives. We'll have power and love and a sound mind, which He tells us in 2 Timothy 1 at verse 7, that this is what God gives us. He did not give us the spirit of fear, but a power of love and of self-discipline, the sound mind. And if we have faith and charity in our lives, we'll have the kind of love of which Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll love and we'll care for a wife, our children, the relationships that we have in life. will be a blessing. We will be people who, regardless of whatever service we render, will serve first God. We'll have joy in life. We'll serve others before we serve ourselves. Before you serve yourself, think of Jesus and think of others. Then you'll think best of yourself. This is the way for us to live. It's the way of the Lord. It's the way that he talks about there in Psalms 37 and verse 23. It's the way that he taught us to do things in Proverbs 15 and verse 22. It's the way of life that he tells us that he gave us, not a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind, self-discipline, 2 Timothy 1 at verse 7. It is the case that Jesus came and he offered himself to serve God. And in Matthew 5 at verse 17, he didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them. Once he fulfilled the law and the prophets, he set aside the animal sacrifices for the forgiveness of sin. He extends his blood to forgive us of our sins. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, and then following down verse 7, in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning at verse 3, he tells us that we are so appreciative of God the Father and of Jesus his Son, who gave him his life, shed his blood, that we might have the remission of our sins. Thus we find ourselves blessed of God to have forgiveness of our sins, and we have an opportunity to serve him. That's the way of life that he told us to do. And it's the way of life that if we do it, we'll practice it in such a way that we'll be of great help to our fellow man. We're talking about a way of life to guide children in the family. We're talking about a way of life to guide a husband and wife's relationship in the family. We're talking about a way of life that guides people to serve God in their families and guides us toward the heavenly shore hereafter. That's the way of life that we do. And I hope that you've enjoyed this study today of how much better we can be in life if we'll follow life God's way. It's been good to be with you today. Once again, I remind you of the services of the Crockett Church of Christ as we gather this morning. Bible study classes will be at 9:30. Worship together and the preaching service will be at 10:30. And again, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock. And again, Wednesday night, midweek Bible study classes will be at 7 o'clock. Come and be with us if you possibly can. It's a joy to be with you once again. God bless you, and God bless your family relationships with other people. This is Robert Rawson.